In this episode of the .NET Show, I'm going to have some folks join us from the Azure Event Hubs team to show us how we can use the .NET SDK to process messages with Azure Event Hubs. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the .NET Show. My name is Cecil Phillip, and with me today, I have some folks from the Azure Event Hubs team. So why don't we start off with you guys introducing yourselves and just letting us know what exactly it is that you do.
So my name is Shubha Vijayasarathy. I'm a senior program manager with Event Hubs. And Event Hubs falls under the messaging services. We have like around four messaging services. And Event Hubs provides you a data streaming platform. And yeah, we pretty much here to talk about various SDK and various options.
Sure. Sir?
My name is Serkan. I'm a principal software engineer in Azure Event Hubs team.
Cool. Awesome. So let's start off with what you kind of mentioned before, right? Like there's tons of different messaging options inside of Azure.
Correct.
Right? And specifically, your team works on Azure Event Hubs.
Yes.
And you mentioned it's there for streaming.
Yes.
Right? So could you explain to me just a little bit about how is what Event Hubs does different from like some of these other messaging things that we have?
Absolutely. So when you talk about messaging, very basically, you're thinking of data or a message going from point A to point B. Now, when the data goes from point A to point B, what happens on the B end or on that end defines what kind of messaging platform, what kind of messaging service you want to do. So you have messaging services like Service Bus, which is more like an enterprise message broker, where it says, I'm taking message from point A to point B securely, asynchronously, reliably, but once I reach point B, I want some action to be performed on me. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a look, sender, I'm sending, but receiver, do something as soon as you do. I mean, it just defines the state at that point in time.
Yeah.
When you're thinking of other messaging services like EventGrid, it's more like a notification kind of a service which says, hey, you were interested in this, so I'm pushing you this notification saying, you know, something happened.
Yeah.
It could be some kind of CRUD that's happening among Azure resources. Now, there comes Event Hubs, which, like I mentioned, is a data streaming platform, wherein you're sending lot of data, a lot of messages, and as soon as it reaches the Event Hubs, it says, hey, the FYI, the message is there for you, and you can come and you can take whatever action you want, or you can use that message at your ease. It's giving you a asynchronous buffer in the cloud so that you can take any kind of action based on the messages that come in at your pace. It need not be instantly. So most of the use cases that come to Event Hubs are near real time, wherein there are a lot of senders sending data at the same time into this big fat pipe, and there are a lot of consumers consuming this data at the same time from this fat pipe.
Got it.
Biggest difference between other messaging services and Event Hubs is once the message is in Event Hubs, like I said, it's an FYI because the message is retained there for a defined policy or a defined period of time, and it does not get deleted, or the user cannot, or the consumer cannot delete it. It just expires over time.
Got it. Okay, okay. And so how does that relate to something like IoT Hub? Right? Is there some similarities there between the services, or is that completely different?
IoT Hub, when you're thinking of IoT Hub, you're thinking of devices, management of devices. So it's nothing new that, you know, every message that comes into IoT Hub gets streamed into Event Hubs. But IoT Hub is built on top of Event Hub, wherein you are not just streaming. You're not just going from you know, point A to point B, but you're trying to manage your devices also. So it's like a different kind of protocol that it uses, different kind of management that it uses. So it's a specialized case of Event Hubs, I would say. Not, I mean, where you are thinking about devices and devices alone, not just streaming.
Gotcha.
So this is like, you know, I have a series of data that's coming in, where I'm trying to observe patterns and things of the sort, where one message might not be of complete interest, but a series of such messages might be of interest. Something similar to what IoT Hub also would want for streaming, but IoT Hub is not streaming alone.
Got it. So as you're explaining it to me, mm-hmm. what I'm hearing is, you know, Event Hubs is for streaming scenarios where
Correct.
I have a lot of producers, a lot of consumers.
Correct.
You know, I also have a situation where my the storage of these messages is somewhat persistent, right?
Yes.
Persistent from the perspective mm-hmm. of, you know, after I've acted upon
Correct.
The message, it doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily like disappear.
Yes.
For instance, like something like Azure Event Hub, I might say, hey, I've completed this mission and it's mm-hmm. gone away. You know, I mean, we have like this persistent store,
Correct.
So to speak,
yes.
of where these messages are held. So
That's
other
right.
clients now could look back.
Yes, exactly.
And
you can replay
on a batch of messages.
Yes, you can replay those messages because you might have what Event Hubs offers is not a single consumer at a point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It can have concurrent consumers. So all these concurrent consumers are trying to consume from this buffer at the same time.
Okay.
So each one might be replaying or even reading for the first time at different checkpointing or different point in time through the buffer.
Got it.
And that's what Event Hub gives you. It's a streaming platform.
Got it. Okay,
yep.
That sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I definitely want to dive into the code and see like some examples of how we
Absolutely.
Could use it.
Yes.
But why don't we start off with looking at the Azure portal, for
mm-hmm.
instance, and
mm-hmm.
seeing like what does it look like after I've created like my Event Hub instance, for
yes.
instance?
Yes, sure.
We have an SDK demo namespace that I have created right before.
Okay.
So on the overview page, you can see like some metrics. Let's say number of requests coming in,
okay.
How many messages flowing in, what throughput. So those metrics are available. And also at the bottom, you can see all your event hubs.
So what? As soon as you go and log into your portal, yeah. You would look for event hubs. To create or to start using Event Hubs.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get into the portal and you start seeing, looking for Event Hubs, you are asked to create a namespace.
Okay.
What a namespace gives you is like an endpoint or a starting point where you can start streaming or start talking to Event Hub service
yeah.
and start streaming your data.
Got it.
So the namespace is your starting point. Under the namespace comes the Event Hub instances
mm.
into which you're actually streaming the data. So
Got
when
it.
Senders or producers are producing it into the Event Hub instances under the namespace that you stream into, and consumers would be using those Event Hubs to consume as well.
Got it.
So namespace like basically provides you a logical container where yeah. you create the Event Hubs, individual Event Hubs under that.
Got it.
And then individual Event Hub now provides some sort of an endpoint that your senders and receivers start talking to each
yeah.
other and then
sure.
Receiver.
And then I'm looking at the portal mm-hmm. and I actually see that there's these shared access policies that are in there.
Correct.
So I'm guessing that means that I can have some granularity over who have permissions to read,
yes.
permissions to write.
Yes.
Like for instance, I might only want my consumers
Correct.
To be able to read messages and
yes.
my producers only to produce messages.
Yes, That's absolutely. So that is one kind of providing access and restricting and providing policies
yeah.
for who can access to your event apps at what level. We are also integrated with the AAD,
okay.
Azure Active Directory, mm-hmm. which defines or gives you the RBAC role-based access capabilities, which also defines or gives you the same kind of granularity.
Cool, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. So why don't we take a look and start off with maybe like taking a look at like the .NET client, for instance, and seeing
yes.
how exactly we could like consume or use an event hub from .NET.
I think it's better if you start with that sender sample.
So we spoke a lot about what Event Hub's platform is,
yes.
and we have producers and we have consumers.
Mm.
So if you think from a developer perspective, we have three components. We have the sender component, we have the service component, and we have the receiver component or
yeah.
the consumer component. And I think we can dig through the sender component here.
Yeah, let's take a look
yeah.
at the sender.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to create a sample sender, basically you need the Event Hub connection string and then what Event Hub you need to start sending your messages to. So the connection string, you can grab it from the shared access policies.
Yeah.
So as we talk, you can create shared access policies, which defines granular access.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say by default, you're going to have the root managed shared access key, which will give you all the managed send and listen claims. So once you go there, you can just copy the connection string from here and then start running your client.
So if you go back for a minute onto the SaaS policies page, So we spoke about three different claims: manage, send, and listen.
Yeah.
The manage claim says that you can create event hubs or event hub instances. You can create resources under your namespace. You are given that permission.
Yeah.
The listen says you can only read or listen onto that event hubs but cannot write.
Got it.
The send says you can only send but not listen.
Got it. So that makes sense.
There are different kind of claims that you can use as well.
Right,
for
right.
this, for simplicity, we are using by default the manage, which gives you all capabilities.
Great. Yeah, that just makes it easier for the demo.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we have the event hub connection string, and then I previously created a single event hub under this namespace. So basically, what you do is this: you create an event hub connection string builder. And then you just pass your event hub name as entity path.
Yeah.
And this will give you the connection string, which includes the event hub name. So with using this one, you basically call event hub client.create from connection string API, which will give you the event hub client.
Yeah.
So then you can start sending your messages. So basically, I think this is the basic one. You can just craft an event data with some message body. And then each time you create an event data, then you call the async send async method.
Got it. So two questions I have really quickly, and this is some scenarios that I've run into as I work with different messaging clients. So whenever I create a messaging client, particularly for event hubs, is that something that I want to keep around for a long time? Should I have that like as a singleton mm-hmm. inside of my application, or is it like really expensive for me to create? Like how would I manage that? Like
Event hub client is thread safe, so we mostly recommend our customers to create the client and then keep mm-hmm. the connection as long as possible.
Got it.
Because it will save some overhead in terms of the TLS handshake.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Those kind of time spent for creating connection, then security, those kind of things.
Got it.
So once you create the clients, then you can continue using it as long as you want.
Well, I think you said something really important too, that is that it's a TLS connection, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a secure channel.
That's correct.
Yes.
On both sides, right? Like going back and forth. So this is a crypton channel. We don't have to worry too much about peeping toms in terms of our data.
Yes. So Event Hubs provides TLS for data in transit.
Mm-hmm.
It also encrypts when it is at rest, when data is at rest.
Yeah.
We've also enabled bring your own key or customer managed keys, which went out for public review this month, which you can bring in, where customers can bring in their keys, and then we encrypt with their keys when data is at rest.
That's pretty cool. So that means that I could use something like Azure Key Vault, for instance, maybe.
And
I could generate a key,
a
certificate file in Azure Key Vault and use that for Azure Event Hubs.
Yes, that's right.
Nice, awesome. Another thing that was in your code that I wanted to talk about mm-hmm. a little bit was, so I saw when you're looking at line 26, right, so I noticed that you're formatting your text in mm-hmm. ASCII. Right. Now, I know sometimes when it comes to sending messages back and forth, that text encoding is super important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's
and
true.
It's also dependent on whatever that underlying messaging infrastructure happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, one, could you tell me what is the messaging protocol that we're using? And then two, what type of format should we have our text in? Like, should we kind of handle UTF-8 or Unicode and those types of things?
The underlying protocol is AMQP, so when it comes to the encoding, you don't need to worry really. So this is just a sample in order to just create a very small message.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, we are expecting customers to serialize their objects.
Yeah.
So once serialized, it's a JSON object, then mm-hmm. it's going to go through the AMQP transport layer.
Cool.
Just fine. They should not expect any issues in terms of the encoding and decoding.
Got it.
Also, the data that's coming into Event Hubs, to us, from the service point of view, it's just array of bytes. So we don't know what there is, what is there inside the packet. We never open that, so it's just the array of bytes that comes in and then goes out.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can start running this sender sample.
Yeah, let's do that.
So and then we can go back to the portal and then see the messages are coming in through our metrics.
Yep.
Sure. So right now you're inside of Visual Studio and you're just hitting run in that file that you have there.
That's true.
And so we're just expecting it to send a whole bunch of messages through that Event Hub instance that you specified using that connection string and using that Event Hub name
that
you're
correct. So I also added some sort of delay before sending each message because I don't want to just push that many messages there.
Sure.
So currently it's this sample is sending 2 messages per second.
Got and it. I think it, the max you're sending is 500 messages.
Yeah, probably, yes.
Yeah, I think so. I remember the code.
So really quick question about that then, too. Like we talked about throughput a little bit earlier today. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the max amount of messages per second that event hubs can handle? Do we know what that is?
So it's 1,000 messages.
Per second.
It depends basically on the throughputs.
Okay.
How much throughput you reserve is how much we open up our buffer for you to ingress. Today, in production, we have customers doing 2.5 to 3 GB per second. That's the amount of data that they're ingressing.
Right, right, right.
We see up to 2 trillion requests coming in per day for us, or more than that.
Yeah.
So it completely depends on how much you want to ingress with us.
Yeah.
But each throughput, it depends on how many throughputs you would want to buy or you want to reserve. It comes in 2 different flavors, which is a multi-tenant flavor, which gives you bandwidth or resource bandwidth. Or it comes in single tenant dedicated clusters where you say, you know, I don't want to reserve any bandwidth, but I want to, you know, buy the whole capacity and just max it out.
Yeah.
So it completely depends on how much throughput you want to reserve with us.
Right. And that's stuff that we can specify whenever we create that instance.
Correct.
Through Azure Portal.
Yes. It's the amount that you buy and pay for.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep.
So by the way, I want to add something.
Sure.
Like on the portal or for the customers, they can customize their throughput from 1 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
So anything about 20, they need to create a support ticket. And then
That's good to know. So far, we've been sending a lot of messages over into our event hubs, but we don't have a sender yet, right? Like, we don't have anything set up right now that's consuming them, right? So why don't we take a look at the sender and see
what that looks like? The one
the sender,
I'm sending.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've started.
Let's take a look at the
I've started with the sender sample so we can populate some data on the event hub.
Yeah.
And we will introduce the receiver so they will start consuming the messages.
Yes.
So I would like to show the graph as well so you can see
the messages
on this metrics.
In, yes.
Yeah, the messages are now coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple useful metrics, like the throughput metric that you see on the portal tells you how much throughput you have and how much you are trying to ingress.
Yeah, okay.
So some requests and message, very useful metrics.
Let's now switch to receiver sample. So since our sender is running for a while, so it has sent some number of messages, so probably a couple hundred messages, as you can see. And then on the receiver side, the coding is also very simple. You have the connection string and event hub name, then you craft the connection string builder with both of them, and then create the event hub client on top of that. And as the next thing, we go and then call get runtime information async API to discover how many partitions are there available in this particular event hub. Because it's up to a developer to either say 2 partitions or 32 partitions.
Okay, and can you explain this really quickly? Like, what exactly is a partition?
Yeah, so I explained that Event Hub is a buffer.
Yeah.
And inside that buffer, architecturally, the way we distribute messages is with a concept called partitions.
Okay.
Now, why we have these partitions is so that I also mentioned that with Event Hubs, you can concurrently consume all the data that's coming in.
Mm.
So to maximize the parallel consuming methodology, you have partitions. So data that's coming inside Event Hubs gets distributed in these partitions, and you hook up the consumers to consume from each of these partitions. So as you scale up the consumers, you can start consuming
data from different partitions.
Yes. So you have 32 partitions, you have 32 consumers. All of the consumers can be with each of the partitions. That way you are maximizing your real-time processing and scaling up as well.
So I know with some other services, I have the ability to affect how the data gets partitioned.
Correct.
Can I do that with Event Hubs too or no?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to talk about different sender patterns and how?
Yeah, sure. Like you want to go through some code snippets, how we are?
So we have 3 different types of sender patterns, which influence how the data is distributed in each of these partitions. So by default, when you do not mention what kind of sender pattern, we round robin the data, where the data just gets distributed on the available partitions, and then it's equally distributed. Oh, it's on us. It's pretty transparent. You would really not know what partitions you're sending in. But when you're consuming, you would not know what partitions you're consuming it from. But the data just gets distributed. Then we have the partition key pattern, wherein you say, okay, I want all my data coming in to go to Shubha partition.
Yeah.
So we kind of hash it and then send all the data to that particular partition. So all the data coming in for Shubha partition is made sure to go to that particular partition. The less recommended is the partition ID, where you're trying to send to a particular partition ID.
Yeah.
Now, I should bring this up saying the partition ID, if you say one, does not mean it'll map to the partition ID one that we follow. It's
sure.
completely different. It's a reference that the client is trying to send to,
Sensor.
Which is completely independent of how we name our call our partitions
right.
to be.
So it's like how we do routing strategies.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So the way that you handle partitions determines like what event hub is going to go to,
yes.
and like what
yes.
messages goes where, what consumer is going to pull that out.
Correct. Now, of these three different partitions, the most recommended is the round robin partition methodology, because that ensures that the data that's coming in was always made sure into a particular partition, or
sure.
a partition is made available for the data that is coming in all the time. When it comes to a sender key or a partition key or a partition ID, you are kind of trying to wait for that particular partition to be available. These are self-healing distributed systems. If a partition is not available because of a load balancing that's happening on our end, it's only intermediate. But then there are applications which depend on, I cannot have even a millisecond delay.
Yeah.
They should be considering round robin kind of a
partition.
Yeah, I think I can show some code samples here.
Sure.
So when it comes to the client sender, so our sender is already running with the client sender. So basically, you create a single client, and then you call the send async method.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this will entertain the round
robin
fashion.
Yes.
So it will just start from one of the partition, and the next message comes in, it will switch to the next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the other sending methodology is creating a partition sender. So basically, on the client itself, once you create the same client, you call the create partition sender with the partition ID you want to send to.
Right.
So this partition sender has its own send async method.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing as you provide the event data and then call send async, and then you are now targeting the specific partition.
Yes.
Got it.
The last one is the third one is the sending with partition key. Basically, what you are doing here is this: on the event hub client, you are sending the message with attaching a partition key. So depending on the hashing algorithm, so that partition can be mapped to a single partition, so
yep.
your message mm-hmm. will be landing on that mm-hmm. partition only. So it helps you to just send all related messages with the same partition key to land on the same partition.
Sure.
It kind of helps grouping your data.
Right. And I like how the way that we do that is just mm-hmm. by doing like an overload, essentially, of the send async function.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like I don't have to think too much about,
yes.
you know, partitioning strategies
correct.
And those types of things. At least not in tremendous amount of detail.
Yes,
and
correct.
I could just have my function like just call it and I'll pass it like some extra data.
That's it. Yeah, it's your configuration that you need to worry about.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So let's jump into the receiver, because I know we've been talking
correct.
A lot about
yeah.
sending stuff.
Now the receiver side is also pretty simple actually. What you do is this. I think we were already starting on this one. So we created the event hub client. Then in order to discover what partitions.
Yeah.
are available or how many partitions we have, you basically call get runtime information. So in the returned event hub info, you have the list of partition IDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with that one now, you can spawn a single task which receives from a dedicated partition. So basically, in each task on the event hub client, this is using the same client, and then you create a receiver with the full consumer group. So you can, if you have multiple consumer groups, you can just specify your own consumer group.
Yeah.
And which partition ID you want to receive from, and where you want to receive from. Where, like, you can start from very much beginning of the stream, somewhere in the middle, or at the end of the stream.
Or you can make it time-based.
Yeah. And then once you have the receiver, basically, you call the receive async method,
mm-hmm.
and then you specify how many messages you're expecting at most. So let's say this sample is telling, give me 10 messages at most. So whatever is available, it will give you up to 10 messages.
Got it.
And let me run this one.
Now, I think that's a really powerful concept in that I could say mm-hmm. which messages do I want.
Yep.
Like I think that allows for like a lot of really interesting types of scenarios. Mm-hmm. So like what you were talking about, I could say, you know, let me know the messages that I got within the last 5 minutes.
5 minutes,
or last
yes,
10 minutes.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I'm guessing I can have some type of like a pointer, mm-hmm. essentially, mm-hmm. right? And like, let me start at this pointer, and now I can start and read four from that point.
Correct. That's right. Yep.
Now, as you can see on the left side, our sender is already working, still working, mm-hmm. sending messages. Mm-hmm. On the right side, the receiver started. So we have four partitions under this event hub, and then we spawn a dedicated receiver on each partition. And then you can see messages are now mm-hmm. flowing in.
Ooh, this looks pretty good. Let's move forward and talk about the partition runtime information. I think that's another important piece that we wanted to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, if in your application, if you want to monitor how your partitions are doing in mm-hmm. terms of, say, you know, what is the in-sequence number, when was the last message sent? So you can go and then either query this information yep. on demand whenever you like, mm-hmm. or you can enable receiver runtime metrics on your partition, so which will provide you that the same sort of information automatically every time you are receiving through.
So that's almost like statistics. Right?
That's correct.
Let me know what's happening right now. Correct. Let me know what the state of my hub or my namespace happens to be. Right, and then now I could pass that into like a ticketing system or an alerting mm-hmm. system in case anything that's going on that doesn't look too right, or you know, I just want to know like mm-hmm. what the throughput of my thing is.
It's more like it's on the consuming end where I'm trying to consume and what is my state right now.
Yeah,
it's more to do with you know how are my consumers behaving, where are they, what state they are, and how much they have consumed, and how much more backlog is there, or how much ahead are we.
Got it.
Cool.
More of that, yes.
Yeah, here we have a code sample here. On the Event Hub client, you can call get partition runtime information by providing the partition ID.
Yeah.
Basically, it will return the partition runtime information, and then you can dig into those kind of statistics.
Gotcha. Nice. I feel like there's so much more stuff that we could talk about. Like, we've covered a lot of great things today.
Yeah.
So you've shown us, you know, we talked a little bit about just what Event mm-hmm. Hubs is in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen like how I could receive and how I could send messages.
Correct.
And also too how we could see like some of that statistical information.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're gonna have to have y'all come back again and talk to us about like some of the other things that we could do in Azure Event Hubs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And then thank you all for watching. This has been another episode of the On.NET Show. We learned about how we can use the .NET client to process messages with the Azure Event Hubs SDK.